My name is Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. This is episode 38, and I'm calling it the Mainstreaming of Transcendental Meditation. I'm very excited about today's episode because I have new information about a meditation technique that I've personally been practicing for decades. This new TM movement, or surge in TM meditators, gives me a chance to tell my personal story about my experience with TM over the past 40 years. Now, I have to say I haven't been meditating every day over the past 40 years. There were years when I didn't pick it up at all. But then I went back to it again. By the way, I apologize for the gusty wind in the background. We're getting 40-mile-an-hour gusts out there. Back in 1973, when I was a teenager, I saw an advertisement for instructions on a new meditation technique called TM. My sister and I decided to go for it and joined a group of about 30 people who were getting formal instruction on a mantra-centered meditation technique. Transcendental meditation involves sitting quietly in any comfortable position and repeating a mantra for 20 minutes twice per day. After about 2 weeks of meditating, I noticed a dramatic difference that is really hard to describe. The only analogy that seems to fit is that I felt physically lighter on my feet. I felt mentally calmer, which is not the usual status quo for a teenager, and certainly not me at the time. I would describe myself as a loner and an introvert and pretty unhappy about how my life was going. During those first few months, I got a sense that this was not a short-lived drug-like effect, like that of any stoners you might know. I'm not pointing any fingers, but we all know them. It felt more like a new normal. I started talking about TM to kids around me, and as you can imagine, the usual reaction was, "Oh, sure, Jean." Again, it was hard to describe, but I felt like there was a before and an after in my way of thinking and being in the world. At that time, I also started moving away from eating meat, not so much because it has saturated fat. I wasn't a nutritionist yet, and I didn't really care. I was a teenager. It was because I pictured myself being the one that has to kill these animals, and it suddenly felt inhumane to me. When I looked at the meat in the supermarket, it was no longer this reddish-gray thing wrapped in cellophane. But it was an animal who had a mother and siblings and probably wanted to have fun and avoid pain and the usual things that animals have in common with us. Now, at the time, I also understood that animals eat other animals, and that was part of life on this planet. But it made me more aware that we were doing what lions and tigers were doing in the wild. In the late 70s, my sister and I went to one of many TM weekend retreats. It was located this time in a beautiful wooded area of Vermont. It was at a country inn, and we occupied the entire inn. There was beautiful decor and yummy home-cooked meals, mostly vegetarian, and as I recall, really genuinely nice people. The TM instructors held group meditations at least twice per day, and we were encouraged to meditate one or two more times during the day. At this time, there were lectures given about the scientific basis for why it makes us feel better in general, but they were not terribly scientific. The diagrams of what was going on in our brains when we meditate was basically a chalkboard diagram with little bubbles. After one of these lectures, the instructor paused for questions from the audience of meditators. A young gentleman stood up and started speaking in this oddly foreign tongue. I would describe it as an almost cartoonish tone of voice. He started making comments about how he didn't understand any of this and asked a seemingly ridiculous question. This question went along the lines of how he didn't understand what the bubbles coming out of the brain meant. I think the instructor had drawn the bubbles to signify the different levels of consciousness that goes on during the meditation process. But looking back, it must have seemed a bit silly even to us. But this guy kept going on, and he started making people feel embarrassed and uncomfortable for him. And he just kept going on in this chirpy, foreign-sounding voice. Well, come to find out, this man with a squeaky voice was comedian Andy Kaufman, and he was doing the voice that he had used as the character Latka on the TV show Taxi. I was told afterward that the fact that so many people didn't get Andy Kaufman was what he liked the most. As if that was not embarrassing enough, the instructors were in on the joke, and the joke was on us. He later got up on the stage and did his Mighty Mouse routine. I'll give you a link in the show notes.
There's only is one thing you need in life and to make you happy, and that is friends. That's all you need is friends, and then you'll be happy.
Right.
So if you have friends, you'll be happy person. You also need the food and clothes. You need food and clothes, and you need the friends and the food and clothes. Then you'll be a happy person.
Right.
And a nice car. So if you have your friends and the food and clothes and the nice car, this is all you need. You don't need anything else. Except a home. You need the home, a nice house, and when your friends come over to visit you, they might want to take a dip. So you need the pool. So let's add this up. You need the friends, and the food and clothes, and the car, and the house with the pool. And a beautiful woman, who have a nice body that make you the foaming at the mouth. And she will sit by the pool in the bathing suit. It's all, you don't need anything else. You need the friends, the food and the clothes, the car, the house with the pool, the beautiful woman that make the foam come out of the mouth. You know, as long as you have the house with the pool, the car, and the beautiful woman, the friends would only get in the way. Forget I said anything. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, back to the TM movement. TM is now getting a lot of mainstream attention. Basically, I think, for two reasons. Again, this is my opinion, but and I know I'm biased, but here we go. Celebrities are now talking to each other about how they've been quietly meditating for many years and encouraging new celebrities and also a new crop of young people to start meditating. The second thing that's happening is that research is coming in now about the health effects and the new research protocols are of a higher quality. Transcendental meditation was first introduced in this country around the mid to late 50s and started by the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in India. The Maharishi brought TM to this country in the mid 60s when he was first seen as a middle-aged man with a very long beard. That image automatically became a symbol of the hippie generation and would probably not have been noticed by the mainstream had he not instructed the Beatles to meditate. But he personally instructed the four Beatles in TM, and the Beatles were singing the praises of this new method to calm the mind and body. Then it got noticed, for sure. At that time, it was originally thought to be part of the Hindu religion. However, in the 70s, the TM movement started to train instructors here by focusing on the biological changes that are occurring when someone meditates. At that time, the scientific data wasn't a fact-based or evidence-based theory, and the movement died down. We just didn't know enough about the brain, I think, to use EEGs in other ways to scientifically measure what's going on. But some loyal meditators continue to meditate throughout the decades. At the present time, a couple of famous people, notably Jerry Seinfeld and David Lynch, have come forward to tell people how much meditating for years has improved their lives. Oprah Winfrey is now on board, as is Arianna Huffington. David Lynch, in fact, wrote a memoir about TM and started the David Lynch Foundation for TM research. Last month, the American Heart Association came out with a study that says the following. Transcendental meditation, when practiced 2 times per day, lowers blood pressure, reduces stress, increases feelings of well-being, and even can reduce mortality rates. What I find particularly interesting is that meditators often have healthier eating habits than non-meditators, and I think this needs to be studied more. Now, this is not to suggest that meditators don't eat sweet foods or alcohol. We're looking at the overall eating patterns of meditators that other people are starting to notice. In addition, George Stephanopoulos, I'm so glad I got the name right, and Howard Stern have both taken up transcendental meditation, proving that there is no one stereotypical person that tries this. Now, some critics say that the Maharishi promised us cosmic consciousness after we practiced TM 2 times per day for years. But if you speak to the people that have been practicing TM for years, you don't hear much regret about the lack of cosmic consciousness. It's hard to find one regular meditator who would tell you that it's a waste of time. I slipped away from it for years because of all the excuses that I hear from other people, like I don't have enough time and people are going to see me as some kind of hippie. When people are thinking of starting transcendental meditation, they have a lot of questions that suggest that they're doubting what it can do for you. Here's an example of a few of the questions. Number 1, I can't meditate because I can't seem to sit still 2 times per day for 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, well, we watch TV, and that's exactly what we're doing. You can, of course, scratch an itch, move your legs around, change your position. There are really no rules. And if you're meditating and you fall asleep, well, that's fine too. Number 2, I don't have time to meditate is perhaps the most common reason for not starting. This is when I usually annoy people by saying, you've got nothing but time. It's really a matter of choosing what to do with your time. Number 3, meditation is a religion and I already have a religion. As I mentioned previously, the TM leadership decided in the 70s to make this a stress reduction practice and not part of any one religion. I've been to dozens of TM classes, and the term God or religious practice is never mentioned. Number 4, I keep thinking about different thoughts when I try to meditate, and I can't concentrate on the mantra. Well, this is actually part of the meditation experience. They tell us to close our eyes, sit comfortably, no specific posture is necessary, and repeat the mantra in your head. Then if any thoughts pop into your head, just calmly go back to the mantra. Or you could process those thoughts and then calmly go back to the mantra. Once again, there are no rules about this. Some people may think they're doing it the wrong way, or they keep going off track with their thoughts. But in fact, that happens to everyone. Number 5, TM only works for really stressed out people. In my opinion, now I know I'm giving you my opinion, and I'm biased because I enjoy this practice. Stressed out people feel that initial wave of calmness that comes over their body more than people who started out relaxed. But I do believe that anyone can benefit from the practice. Number 6, TM is only for rich people who are already vegans. Now, I can only speak for myself here. It was after I had been meditating for maybe 6 to 12 months that my dietary habits began to change. So, in fact, the opposite is true. There might be less cravings for junk food if you're not anxious and stressed out. But that varies from person to person. Number 7, TM is just for adults and children are stressed out as well. There has always been TM training for children. Now, there's also other types of meditation designed for children as well. I'm not saying that any one meditation is going to work for everyone. And also, the TM instructors do not claim to be the only solution for everyone. What they do claim is that TM works for both children and adults. David Lynch has started the David Lynch Foundation, which entirely works on helping both adults and children use this TM practice for a possible medical treatment as well as a relaxation technique. I have their website on my show notes, and I'm also including the page that describes the school program to help children use TM in their schools. By the way, the homepage for Transcendental Meditation is www.tm.org. Now, this brings me to a topic that I'll just touch on right now, but I'll spell out the project in more detail in the next few months. I'm looking for 3 mothers who have 1 child with autism, who is at least in kindergarten. This is for a local pilot project investigating the possible effects of an organic diet, transcendental meditation, and music therapy on a child's behavior who has autism. I'm sending this out now to allow mothers to think about this for a while and perhaps have a conversation with me or with their family about whether or not this study might work for your family. I will also need permission from your child's physician if you wish to be involved in this pilot project. Now, I live in Salem, Massachusetts, and although it's not mandatory, it would make more sense if the 3 children came from Salem or the surrounding towns. If you're interested in hearing more about this, you can email me at my Gmail account, which is jtiberio, another J, the number 14, @gmail.com. Now that's all I have for you today. Be well and stay tuned for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.